On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with JP Finley.
What up, everybody?
Good afternoon. Last night after the game, we came to a decision that we had to relieve Jay of his duties. Dan and I met with Jay this morning to release him of his duties. Jay was disappointed in not being able to achieve what we all wanted to achieve, and it was a brief conversation.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Jay Gruden is fired. We know you've been waiting for this. Here it is. Sorry, it's been a long damn day. Mitch is here. Pete is here. Somehow. Some way we're in an actual studio
and today of all days.
Damn if it doesn't feel
that's what it
good.
Took. It took Jay getting fired to get us into a real studio.
It's quite pleasant.
It is kind of nice in here.
Us three are here. The bags under our eyes are here. Crinkly shirts are here.
At this point, it's almost old news that Gruden is fired. We talked about it last night. Everybody expected it. Were you two still saying you didn't think he was going to be fired?
No.
Yes. One of you did. You last Friday you didn't think he was going to be fired, but then right. You said by yesterday you thought he was.
Yeah,
you said no.
I think we'd have to check it, but I think I said I didn't think he should be fired.
No, I don't know, but in my mind you said it. It doesn't matter.
So.
He's fired. Let's start there. Obviously we got to talk about Bruce. We got to talk about Callahan. We got to talk about KOC. We got to talk about Haskins. We got to talk about Minuski. There's a lot of shit we got to talk about. Let's start with the head coach of the Washington Redskins fired. Week 6. How do we get here? It's not just the 0-5 start. That's a big part of it. It's 0-5 with blowout losses, 3 of them at home. I think showing up for the first half of the Pats game actually looked worse because then they didn't show up in the second half. And that has been a theme of Jay Gruden coach teams. I think this dates back to January when they probably should have moved on then. I mean,
This is a
culmination of a lot of events.
I would pause right there on the January thing because I'm not in the business of giving JP credit for a lot of things, but I believe he was the first one that kind of started putting these pieces together. And the fact that he in January was when they needed to fire him because the drafting of a quarterback that you want to develop for the future versus a coach that has to win right now. JP kind of started hammering that nail a few weeks ago, and it's only gotten louder since then, and here we are.
Here we are.
But Peter? They didn't do it because this team likes the status quo and they like kind of keeping things how they are. And instead of shaking it up, they want to continue in a certain way.
They believe they're close. And then let's just go to Bruce and there'll be plenty of Jay conversation along the way. Right. So in talking with Bruce Allen, it's very clear that he still believes they're close. That, I mean, I asked him about the culture of this team, because we've heard so much about that the culture of the organization needs to be rebuilt, that the focus needs to change. All of these things need to change. And this is what Bruce Allen told me. The culture is actually damn good. These people care. We have a very young core of players that we have brought in here who are accustomed to winning. If you look at the records of these guys, they're accustomed to winning. They want to win. In free agency, we brought in Landon Collins. Great leader, great player, wants to win. We haven't put it together. We've made too many mistakes on game day. But the effort of the players and the rest of this organization is fantastic. Doug Williams, if you want to check his time card, working all the time. Our scouts on the road are working all the time, and they're trying to find the right formula for success.
These players have the ability, and we just have to execute.
If this was fourth grade dodgeball, I would like that answer, that people are trying hard and doing their best and giving effort, but this is the NFL, and trying hard and having a time card that says you're in the office a lot is not good enough. And he continues and to hammer that point home. He loves saying that they try. Who cares?
On this podcast, in everything we've written and said on television and on radio and written in Morse code, unequivocally have never suggested that the staff doesn't work hard. That is not something I've ever accused anyone of doing. And frankly, I think it's
lazy.
It's lazy. It's lame. It's inaccurate.
It's just first take and everything. Right. It's just hot take.
Right. It's just salacious.
Yes.
So,
like, that's
none of
given.
That is what we were asking.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, every NFL team
I know
has
how hard. I know Doug Williams. He works hard as hell. I know a lot of these scouts personally. They're on the road constantly. That's not the issue. The issue is accountability. The issue is communication. Actually, I want to run the Will Compton interview in this podcast, because Will Compton, we had him on the stream this morning, and he was fantastic. He talked about the lack of communication from the top to the bottom. And one thing B. Mitch has said for a long time and has existed for a long time is that some players feel they can circumvent the coaching staff. Now, a big part of that is on Jay Gruden. A big part of that is on the coaching staff. I don't know that Jay Gruden was ever serious enough with his players. And I think we saw situations where that was a significant problem. And I think that is a big part of why he is fired. You don't have to be a hard all the time to be disciplined. There's a difference. That said, there is an organizational issue where players feel that they can circumvent coaches.
The organizational issues run deep. It's not just the circumvention of the coaching staff. It's that we're sitting here at 0-5 with five bad losses, and your team president, GM, basically head of operations, is still saying they think they're close and that the players want to win and are trying hard. It's
another quote. I'm going to read it.
And this is the one that's, to me, more damning than all.
So
how do you fix this?
I asked about the culture, and I said, so you think the culture's good. How do you win football games? And Bruce said, through winning football games. We have to win. We didn't win any of these games. Okay, thanks, Captain Obvious. DA, David Aldridge, followed up on why nothing has worked over the last decade and why it's so difficult for them to create a winning culture. And Bruce said, and I quote, "I don't necessarily agree with the premise that it's never. Last year at this time, we're in first place and we're doing well. So it was working pretty damn good. And unfortunately, our quarterback got injured. The pieces are here for a winning team. We have to put them in the right place, believe in each other, and keep fighting for a goal. There's only one way you win. You have to work, and you have to get better, and you have to beat your opponent. And that's what we have to do. I believe these players and these coaches will do that. I want to address the pieces are here for a winning team. But first, I'm going to turn it over to my guy, Pete, who is going to go ballistic at the notion that the 9 games while Alex Smith was quarterback is enough to define a winning culture. Because
yeah,
I know how much this bothers
you. NFL seasons are not 9 games. They aren't October, November. And just because you had one nice little 9-game stretch where you got kind of lucky and Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't score in Tampa and Alex Smith didn't turn the ball over, doesn't mean that the past decade of what you've been doing is correct or right or you're building. If I hear one more time Bruce Allen refer to that 9-game stretch as if it's the most illustrious, best football that's ever been played, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be good. It's just so arrogant and wrong, and it shows that if he actually believes that that 9-game stretch is worth building upon, I don't know what's worse, that he believes it or that he's just lying to us. I don't know which what the case is, but either way, it's disturbing, it's bad, it's ugly, it's stupid, and it's annoying, and I'm so tired of that 9-game stretch.
Let's be clear about something else.
There's a blip on a radar of poop.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I hate to use that immature word, but it's the best way I can think about it.
When we got to point this out. Bruce Allen is very skilled at being a politician. Like, his father was a head coach. His brother was a senator, governor. Maybe I should know that.
Governor.
One of the two.
Ran for Senate. He was a governor and ran for Senate.
It's a lot of
I'm
politics.
Not sure he's right.
No?
No. I'm looking it up.
Either way, we talk at the, go ahead, look it up. But at the
he was a governor and a senator. Huh. And I think he was like running for president, or I don't know. We don't do politics. Anyway.
It's a lot going on here.
Anyway, what,
all of a sudden now he's running for president.
I think that was the plan, dude. Whatever.
The damn plan.
All right.
Bruce Allen's really good at saying nothing in these pressers, and he's really good at eloquently lying. So I think we want to hammer him for these details, but on some level, that's what he wants, is to say nothing and to only talk about his talking points. So, like, it's incredibly frustrating. Incredibly frustrating.
He said a number of things, though, that are easy to hammer him on.
Sure.
How do you fix the culture? Well, you fix the culture by winning. How do you win? By having it's a circular thing. About the our friend over at who covers the White House asked about the
Guy went hard.
He went so hard.
Props to Tom for demanding an apology.
Like, do you want to apologize?
He demanded an apology, and then Bruce kind of takes a shot at the fans.
Yeah.
Or at least to the ticket holders. And these are people who feel taken shots at for the last 2 decades.
Let's read that.
It was an unsatisfying presser, but also one we mostly expected. It was good that he at least finally, and for the first time in a handful of years, addressed people in Ashburn, but what he actually said was largely useless. Bruceless, as someone on Twitter said.
Bruceless. So, Tom Fitzgerald, I think, does that sound right? Fox 5 Tom, he covers politics, but he went out to Bruce Allen's presser today,
Tom,
man.
Tom brought it.
And it's also interesting when a guy, like, I think Bruce got a pretty significant set of questions, right? But a guy that doesn't go out there very often can demand an apology.
It's one thing to ask the questions in the manner in which those of us who are around all the time ask a question, in terms of, you know, a respect level, right, and a anti-antagonistic level or whatever. Tom came in there with guns blazing.
Right, Tom. And he said, we talked to him for a few minutes outside, and he said, he's like, look, I cover politics. I'm used to people, especially, we're getting very political today.
Yeah.
But people that don't come in often will just come in and blast a politician or a senator or something because they know they don't have to be there the next day. So he's like, yeah, that was kind of my approach. Anyway, so his question.
Did Tom cover politics?
He did.
Okay.
He did. So he asked if, I believe he said, do you owe fans an apology for the way FedEx Field is overrun by opposing fans? Here's the answer, and this is politics at its finest. Well, I appreciate the fact that the Patriots have a great fan base and they've had tremendous success, and Bill Belichick is probably the best coach in NFL history. So I'm sure many of our fans put their tickets on the secondary market and made some money on it, selling it to people from the Northeast. All we can try to do is improve our product. These games, we weren't close in. How about that?
How about that?
Get that cash, man.
That's what they're doing with their team. Might as well let the fans do it as well.
Can I say this? Now, I'm not a season ticket holder. Haven't been ever. I bought some tickets off my boy Farley for a while at one point.
We're on the waiting list, though, definitely, at some point.
I don't think the time I was of
age to
maybe have money to buy season tickets, everybody kind of knew the waiting list was a myth anyway. Like, because if you saw, because let's say I'm 26 or something, have the money, have the desire.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that if you signed up for the waiting list, you're just getting called about upper levels. Like, the tickets that, I don't know if they still are, but for a long time were, even in the bad FedEx era, were still very hard to get, were good lower level tickets.
Yeah.
So my boy Farley had them through his dad, through his grandfather, like the actual
real
old way, and I would get like 2 or 4 a season. So that was fine for me. Anyway, does that offend you? I know that people were offended by everything he said. I don't find that particularly offensive.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. I find it offensive only in that the fans have put up a lot with the play on the field for a long time, and they've been characterized as bad fans, but based on the fact that the opposing fans have overtaken FedEx Field over and over and over again. The fans that are season ticket holders go to the games largely. Those aren't the tickets that are available on the second market, on the secondhand market. I agree with that. So to take a shot at the people that are actually the season ticket holders and actually go to the games, I think is misguided, is not the right way to go about it. And that's your core fan. To me, that's the core fan base. And those are the people that you want to applaud and thank for supporting the team when the product on the field is as bad as it is, like we're seeing right now.
I wouldn't necessarily be offended by that question in its own, but I would be offended just by the reckless disregard of a bunch of really good questions and a bunch of thoughtful things. And the lack of thought or passion Bruce seemed to really display. Just,
I agree,
he was brushing off
like the rest
so
of it,
much. Like that was one annoying thing in a grand total offensive display.
I guess I'm just saying I'm looking at it maybe more from a fan perspective, where you assume that you're going to be, that the inner workings of the front office and everything that happens in Ashburn is always going to be sort of, you know, behind a curtain, and you're never going to truly get a feel for how it is. I know us as reporters, you know, we want to, our part of our job is to peel back that curtain. And so it's offensive to us as media folks to be lied to and talk to.
I disagree with your premise here. I think fans just like Bruce. Are he doesn't smart like the premise. And savvy and understand when I asked him, how accountable are you for a decade of losing football?
Yeah.
And when the response is nowhere close to answering that, that is more offensive.
I don't think he used the words I or me in those questions. It was always we.
He did say this. I asked him his level of accountability for bad football. And credit where it's due. We're all involved in this. I don't ever want to hide from our record. I don't want to hide from things that didn't go the way we wanted them to go. All we can do is work. Do I believe in the group that's here? Yes. And that's when he named Doug and Kyle. I think we've had a few great drafts. But like,
but you maybe, asked
so
him.
I'm asking him about a decade.
You asked him about a decade, and his first word is, we are all involved. It's right. Not. We're not asking about Kyle, Doug, Jay, maybe, anybody. We're asking about you, Bruce.
Maybe the pot shot at the fans is the cherry on top of the whole thing.
I don't view it as a pot shot. I view it as, maybe it is.
I don't think
he's thinking that much about that to take a shot at fans.
Right. I don't think that was the intention.
In his opening statement, he said we owe it to our fans, our millions of fans, not just here in the great nation's capital, but across the world. I think Bruce Allen is a lot of things. I don't think he's insulting fans.
I don't think he went out there.
The product they deliver insults fans.
Certainly.
But I don't think he is insulting fans.
I thought it was kind of funny when Phillips asked, when's Dan going to talk as the owner of this team? And Bruce goes, Dan's available from time to time. I must have missed those pressers and those releases.
Yeah. I mean,
just a blatant lie.
I was going through, I was actually talking to Philly after the presser, trying to count the number of times this in my 12 years of covering the team that we've talked to Dan Snyder. And I believe in front of a camera, on the record, all that stuff, I believe I came up with 3 total times. Kelly Johnson did an interview with him on the concourse at FedEx Field in circa 2009 or something like that. In 2012, he did a community relations event where they're building a playground, and out of the blue, Tony was like, hey, guys, come here. He's available. And then the long-ranging sit-down that Chick Hernandez did in like 2014, I believe, or 2013 or 14. I'm sure that I'm missing one or two, but like maybe I'm missing one or two.
Yeah.
I mean,
Snyder's
JP,
comet.
Since you came on the beat full time, I don't believe that he's been made available. Am I correct?
He and I have had conversations, but not.
Right. Not on the record and not in front of cameras. And that's what I think, that's the larger point of it all. You know, he at training camp from time to time, he'll stop by and chat with the media and do things along those lines, but certainly nothing with pointed questions on the record in front of an accountable source.
Before we keep going, I want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Go buy a Kia, get a new one, a used one, a leased one. They got great rates. They'll take care of you.
They have a damn good culture.
They do have a good culture.
And a damn good plan.
Bob Hager runs a good shop all over. And I tell you what, car is pretty dope. You seen those Kia Tellurides?
Kia what now?
You love the big cars.
I just noticed this. I just saw one. Maybe it was when we were in New York. Have you seen it?
I don't know if I have.
Dude, it's dope. Look.
I don't even know what word you just used.
Telluride is the name of the car.
Isn't that the name of a city in Colorado?
I believe it is.
It's a sweet little whip there.
That is a sweet little ride.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think it's dope. All right. So is there anything, I mean, there's so much to discuss about Bruce's availability, yet at the same time, there's nothing.
I also think that spinning forward to the Bill Callahan era is poignant, considering how much he said or didn't say at the podium today as well. I'm happy to move on towards that.
Yeah, I want to do a Callahan-Haskins type
thing. Yeah, that's what we need to talk about. But
this was interesting, and I followed up with somebody just to be sure I had the right frame of mind, Pete, because while I'm not a politician, I'm not a doctor, I'm also not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. There was a question, and it was smart, from Les Carpenter of the Post, ooh, who asked about if the firing was for cause. And so after the Jay Gruden social media videos emerged last week, there was the suggestion by some, and this is just a rumor, but hell, that's what most of social media is. And according to Steph Diggs, there's truth to all rumors, that maybe those videos got put out in a way for the Redskins to get to fire Jay Gruden for cause. And what I've learned is that if you fire somebody for cause means that it like nullifies their contract, that you wouldn't have to pay somebody out.
Right.
Bruce Allen said on the record, no, it's not for cause. So that pretty much squashes any notion of a leaked video and of trying to get out of Jay Gruden's contract. I don't see any of that. To me, Gruden's got the rest of this year in 2020 on his deal. I think he's going to cash in on that and just chill for 18 months. And then, frankly, might be able to get another head coaching job in 2021 if he plays all his cards right. If not, he could go work for his brother. He could go work for Sean McVay. That dude,
he's earned some chill time.
He's certainly earned some chill time. And I think his reputation around the league is much higher than his reputation here in town.
Yeah, I think we talk about
his coaching reputation.
We talk about the way that people leave the Redskins organization and how it always feels like they're smeared and this, that, and the other thing. But for the most part, around the league, there's an understanding of the way that things sometimes happen here. And I think that when you step back and take a look at the bigger picture with Jay, that there's an understanding of the coach that he is. And you look at his track record, not just here in D.C., but before, when making evaluations about where he belongs after.
To borrow a line from Michael Scott, he was fired because he didn't have a good record or make the playoffs, not because of those videos.
I'm an Office fan. I think you kind of missed there, Pete. Bill Callahan spoke. I thought it was an interesting vibe. Bill Callahan is a hard on the football field.
Yeah.
Like,
you can ask any of his linemen and they would agree.
Ask us that watch.
If you want to know the opposite of Jay Gruden,
right,
it's trending much closer to Tom Coughlin than it is to anyone else in the middle.
Right. So I didn't know what to expect for Bill Callahan's first press conference. Now, I've talked to him a few times, and he's always, off the football field, a very nice, polite, almost like modest or reserved person, you know? So he gets to the mic, and I thought was incredibly kind. You know, he said, this is bittersweet to replace Jay Gruden, and it's a real privilege for him to be the head coach. He said he was offered the job Sunday night, which the timeline's a little fishy here because he's offered the job Sunday night. Jay Gruden wasn't fired until Monday morning. I think everybody knew what was happening, but still a little. Maybe he was offered with the caveat of you can't answer until tomorrow. Take the night to think about it. I don't know.
To me, there's a lot of people that are saying, well, if the Redskins had fired Jay without having a replacement in mind, then we would have crushed them or whatever. Jay was your head coach for a long time, man. I think he deserves the respect to be the first to know that he's out, kind of. And if you're...
It could have also been, hey, we're thinking about making a change. How do you feel about... It could have been couched, but
sure,
I hear you.
But I just, I think to me, there's a little bit of a respect level that may have been missed.
I think that happened throughout his tenure.
Certainly.
Making Jay Gruden answer questions about Reuben Foster and Scott McLuhan. I mean, there were so many situations where he was sent up into a completely unwinnable position. So the night they're firing him, you think is when they're finally going to do everything right and buy the book? I don't think so.
They made that man wake up at 5 a.m. and tell him he was fired. That is rough. At least he maybe had a chance to get an early tea time in.
We don't know really how that all shook out. Maybe they were like, do you want to come in now? Do you want to come in the morning? And he said, come in the morning. Who knows?
And at the end of the day,
I'm guessing he looped 18 at Creighton, though.
Oh, I hope so.
It's a pretty nice day.
And at the end of the day, that
private
little
club
bit,
might be closed on a Monday.
That little bit of minutia doesn't really matter a whole lot.
Bill Callahan, Mr. Run the Football.
Oh, boy.
And Dwayne Haskins isn't playing right
now. So he gets up there, Bill Callahan gets up there and says that he wants to run the football more. And
no, you hold on, Mitch. You are skipping ahead to what you want to talk about with O-linemen and power football. Let's have the honestly, to me, the first and perhaps only jaw dropper of the day, right? Because we knew Gruden was out. We knew it last night. It was a matter of when. We knew Bruce wasn't really going to say much. The "our culture is damn good" is probably the new winning off the field. I mean, that's a hell of a line for an organization where the best player won't even report. You know, I mean, you can pick your punchline there. I don't think there's a need to go through the litany of them, but there's plenty. So, but all that, relatively expected. Callahan gets up there, and Kime and I were lucky enough that we kind of let off all of the both pressers. And so I asked him, "Hey, got a quarterback yet?" Colt wasn't particularly impressive against the Pats.
He's very bad.
Keenum had been not particularly impressive against the Giants and the Bears.
Very bad.
Haskins, not particularly impressive against the Giants.
But we don't know if he's very bad.
No. If you're going to say
he was very bad.
Okay, just say what happened.
Okay.
Because everybody's going to get their chance here.
Okay.
So I think we all, and no revisionist history, we all assumed when Gruden gets fired, the new guy is playing Haskins, right?
Hell yeah.
Mitchell?
I thought that'd be like a requisite for taking the job. Requirement.
So I have the microphone. "Hey, Bill, thanks for talking to us. Have you decided on a starting quarterback from Miami yet? Are you ready?" I don't know what the hell I said. He said, "No." I said, "Are you ready to name a starting quarterback?" "No, I'm not. We're still evaluating some medical things with Case. We want to see where he's at. Still contemplating whether or not to start Case or Colt, and we're in the midst of those discussions right now. I think a lot of it will have to do with Miami and their defense and what they present and what gives us our best options. At this point, I picked my jaw up off the floor, and I said, "So what about Dwayne Haskins? Is he not being considered to start?" "Not right now, but he will at some point in time. We're going to continue to develop him and heighten his maturation process and try to get him on schedule so that he is prepared. There's always the possibility that he could be active or inactive, so we'll see as we move along." Air horn, Pete. Or the sad air horn.
Sad
I don't know.
Meow, 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 meow.
That is not what I was expecting.
No, not
especially
in any way, shape, or form.
The notion that he could be inactive, I think...
That sounds like it might be a couple more weeks.
On the surface, that sounds incredibly damning to Haskins. That Gruden's been fired. He didn't think you were ready. Now the same guys that are around, it's all the same staff except Jay. They don't think you're ready either, dude. The surface, that is extremely damning.
And that's a headline that people are going to grasp onto and have grasped onto about.
Deservingly so.
Yes, I agree. Don't attack me.
I didn't, but I already wrote a story with that headline, so I didn't want you attacking me either. But
there was some more substance to what he said, though.
I'm giving you the substance now.
All right.
So he said, "We're going to continue to develop him and heighten his maturation process and try to get him on schedule so that he is prepared." So that means more reps, more work, more opportunities to get in the game, because there is this chicken and egg catch 22. When he's been in, he's been bad. He threw 3.5 interceptions in New York. He only completed 55% of his passes in the preseason. Haskins hasn't been good. The groundswell for Haskins that he's shown these flashes is an extremely limited argument. The argument for put him in, he's your 15th overall pick, he was great at Ohio State, he needs the opportunities, he needs to learn, that makes way more sense to me than that you've seen enough in a pro game to put him back on the field, because you haven't. Do you disagree, Peter?
No, but he also had a throw in the preseason we said was one of the best throws we've seen in Redskins quarterback. He had some nice bootlegs, he had some strong flashes.
You know who threw some pretty balls, Mitch?
I'm just saying.
Rex Grossman.
He
threw some ducks, too.
He's flashed.
Rex Cannon.
He's flashed.
55% of his passes, Pete. But
they suck anyway. Who cares? Who cares?
That is an immature thought process. They suck anyway. Who cares? Who cares? The other quarterbacks haven't been good either. That is the more rational look at it. It can't just be, because if they suck, who cares? Then, start playing Troy Apke at safety and see what you got. Like, the answer can't to everything be they suck, who cares?
Troy Apke isn't the safety of the future. Dwayne Haskins might be. The rest of the team is kind of in no
man's
land.
He was a third-round draft
pick. He's a third-round pick last year.
He's a fourth-round pick, and he sucks. Dwayne Haskins has a chance to be really good, and you aren't giving him that chance. It doesn't matter to me if he's ready now. It matters to me how he looks at the end of the year.
I'm not arguing with that, but when you just shout they suck, who cares,
That was immature. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
There's a measure.
It's frustrating that they aren't giving him the chance anymore.
However, it appears from the opening press conference from Bill Callahan that they have a measured plan And they're at least laying that out now for us to see where they're moving.
Some level of a plan.
Some level, yes.
But I also think that plan.
More so than we ever saw from Jay. And Jay was outwardly dismissive of playing Dwayne and dismissive of him getting reps in practice, which is something that happened, that had happened. At least Bill is up here laying out, we want to get him reps. We want to get him a situation. And if you want a level of optimism for seeing Dwayne this season and what's going to happen with him, at least we have an idea of what the coaching staff needs to see from him and wants to get him work so that he can get to that position.
My problem is this plan and this coaching staff, it's being carried out by guys who may not be around. Jay Gruden is not around anymore. Bill Callahan is not going to be the head coach next year. So why is he determining what's going on with this quarterback? Why is Bill the guy?
Who's supposed to do it then?
Just mandate that he has to play.
So what? Now you want who to send that mandate down?
The bosses. This is one of the few times I want them to interfere.
So all this time, you don't want, nobody wants Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen to get involved. Now you do.
Right now, yes. You drafted this guy. You have 11 games. You're going to have a high draft pick. What he is. Bill Callahan shouldn't be the one in charge of Dwayne Haskins' future.
Who should?
He's an interim head coach who's coaching the offensive line, who's not going to be the head coach anymore.
Who should?
Have Dan Snyder just tell him to play. We thought that was going to be the place. Miami's the soft landing spot we've been talking about for weeks, and now he's not going out there anymore.
We talked about Miami.
I'm not saying it's
the
right
move,
but you can't answer my who should question.
Bruce, Dan, people above Bill Callahan, the interim head coach. I don't care what Bill Callahan wants from the quarterback position.
Crushing the team. Crushing them.
Crushing. The expectation was that they wanted to see Haskins on the field. Gruden wasn't doing it. That's a big part of why he's fired. Now they're proving they're not forcing him on the field. And now you're mad they're not.
You got rid of the head coach who is trying to win now. Now it's all about the future. Dwayne is the future, the potential future.
Learning how to read defenses and run an NFL offense is something that needs to be learned.
You were with me saying they should have played him against the Patriots
on
Sunday.
Listen, and I still am, but I'm okay because at least there's a discussion of a plan. There's seemingly a plan in place to get him to that position. I still think that Dwayne should be out there on Sunday against the Dolphins because we talked about the chicken and the egg thing. JP wants to go chicken. I'm all egg.
Don't know what that means.
I just don't know what.
I think they should be playing Dwayne.
Also,
but your logic and arguments are just so all over the place. And it's just like, play him. Damn it, play him.
There are times for them to step in, and they've been doing it incorrectly, but this is one of the times I'm okay with them stepping in.
I don't want to be ganging up on Pete, but I think that the front office controlling what happens on the football field has been the biggest complaint of players, coaches, fans,
media,
analysts, everybody under the sun. And there's a proven metric out here right now that they're letting the coaching staff do what they think is best. And on top of it, the coaching staff is talking about a plan to get that rookie quarterback a position where he can step out there and play. Those are both good things.
I think there's a few things at play. I think under Gruden, there was a philosophy that he had to know the entire playbook before he could step on the field, right? I think with Callahan and more so with O'Connell, they are going to create packages for him. And I think they just want a little bit of time to implement that. That's truly what I think. So I think if that is the case, and we don't know that that's the plan.
No.
But to Mitch's point, if that is the plan, I think it makes sense to actually develop the kid for. And so I texted Paul Troth, who worked with him at Elite 11. This is a guy that knows his quarterbacks. He's been on the pod. He's kind of all over the place these days. I said, do you think they should go to Dwayne? He said, no, but in 2 weeks, you should be able to get him ready. I mean, I'm not going to read that part. But then
I will read it after this podcast.
And then
over,
he
though.
Said, in 2 weeks' time, if you can't get him ready, you know a lot more. So they haven't tried this at all. So now you get, if you look at the schedule, right? I mean, 2 weeks is the Lions. Who is it? What's funny is we knew the first five games. Now it's Dolphins, Niners, Lions? I mean, we all have computers in front.
Dolphins, Niners, Lions, Vikings, Bills, bye week.
Can't wait for that bye week.
Close but wrong. Dolphins, Niners, Vikings, Bills, Jets, bye week after the Bills game. Anyway.
Who cares? Minutia.
Right, but maybe they're trying to get him ready for the Vikings game. I don't know
what.
But
we were just talking about how the Dolphins is the best place, and now they just aren't going to do it.
I agree.
That.
No, I said
everybody
that.
Everybody said that.
Hold on. I'm going to defend Pete for a second. I think they're incorrect to not go to Dwayne right now.
I agree, but I'm also okay with it because while we talked about the Dolphins being a fine spot to do it, the bye week was also a position that we talked about as the second possible landing spot if they didn't start him in Miami.
I guess my overall take is where Dwayne is right now doesn't matter to me as much as how much he can grow and the amount of time he has. If he's not ready right now, that's fine. What do you need him to be ready for? Let's see what he can develop.
The only problem with that, there is a possibility that you seem to just completely ignore. And that is that this can really squander his development, that this can be really bad for him.
But you said if having a couple of bad games squanders him, is he that guy anyway? Badass quarterbacks can handle failure. We've been talking about this all offseason.
What if he gets his ass kicked? That's different. I'm not talking about throwing picks. I'm talking about if he was in that Pats game, what did Colt get sacked? 6-7 times?
Yeah.
And Colt knows the speed of NFL defenses and knows the protections and knows that offensive scheme or the previous offensive scheme backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
What if Dwayne gets his ass kicked? And I think that is something the coaching staff's worried about.
Okay. Then that's okay.
There's also 51 other players outside the quarterbacks. 51.
That becomes less relevant once you have a coaching change.
It's
that's just the reality. Jay Gruden had a responsibility to all those players. Bill Callahan does, but it's going to start looking a lot different.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bill Callahan's already, so to the point that Mitch tried to get to way earlier, but Bill Callahan's already going to change this thing. It's going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They're really going to try to go to AP 20 times. I don't know that it's going to work. Frankly, I think it's not, but things are going to start looking very different, and Callahan's responsibility is not to those players to the same level it was for Gruden.
Here's what my biggest issue with the 3 yard with talking about wanting to run the ball more. They're terrible at running the ball right now.
That's terrible.
We're excited that Kevin O'Connell's finally get a chance to call plays. But if Bill Callahan is mandating that they run the ball more, is Kevin O'Connell really getting a chance to call the plays that he wants or the offense that he wants to run? Is it not counterintuitive that you're handing over the keys to a Ferrari but telling him you can only drive it at 15 miles an hour?
Like, I'm glad
and it might not be a Ferrari, by the way.
Bruce,
probably closer to a Pinto.
All these guys are saying that they're glad they have Bill there, and I think to a certain extent that's true. You have a guy who's coached before, who can handle the press conferences, do all that, but Bill Callahan is going to be an 11-game rental, and then he's going back to O-line coach or he's moving on. I don't want Bill Callahan stunting the development of Kevin O'Connell because he's calling for Adrian Peterson to run it 30 times. I don't want Bill Callahan to
stunt the development of Dwayne Haskins. If you're an alpha male, nothing can stunt your development, right, Pete?
Not having the chance to do what you're supposed to do can definitely stunt it, which is what's happening by keeping Dwayne on the bench and telling Kevin O'Connell to give it to a 34-year-old running back whose time is also limited.
I agree, but I think
I'm just using your words. You've long said, Beamish has long said, an alpha male, badass quarterback can handle some failure, so why are we coddling Dwayne? I'm a coddled little boy. I understand what coddling means. Sometimes you just need to put Dwayne out there. And if he gets shelled and that makes him fold, then was he ever the right pick in the first place?
I think the under.
All of that's reasonable. I specific to the O'Connell running the offense where Callahan's making him run the football, let's just wait and see. Because some of the Bill Callahan as power runner stuff is just so out of whack anyway. I always go back to, because I used to love Nebraska football when I was a kid. I love Tommy Frazier. I love the triple option. Like, I just loved watching that. Nebraska was so good. Tom Osborne, right? Eventually, Osborne gets old. They run him off. He retires. I don't really remember how it all out. But Callahan, after his time with the Raiders, which was a great team he inherited from John Gruden, which is so weird because he's only going to get two. He's had two NFL head coaching opportunities, one after John, one after Jay Gruden. Regardless, Callahan, after it went bad in Oakland, he had one good year, one bad year, they fired him. The following year, he gets the head coaching job at University of Nebraska. The first thing he does, because I remember there was this big Sports Illustrated, I think it was the cover story, but back then, Sports Illustrated, I devoured. I read every page of, and it's, as an aside, it's really sad to see what's happening to SI. That's a product I love for most of my life. Anyway, there was this huge story about Bill Callahan is getting rid of the option because he wants to run the West Coast offense at Nebraska. So don't feed me all these tales about power running. I know they did it in Dallas, but that's also what they were equipped to do in Dallas. They invested a ton of draft picks in the offensive line, and DeMarco Murray was tearing things up for them. So I want to see it on the field. I think KOC is going to get to run his offense.
Sure, and I hope that's the case. And it's definitely a rule of Taylor. Watch what they do, not what they say. However, he just stood at the podium for his very first press conference and hammered home the idea that he wants to run the ball more.
Yeah.
That Watching happened. Case Keenum hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson against the Dolphins and for the Redskins to win 13-10 is going to make me so annoyed on Sunday.
If they win?
What do you accomplish with Case Keenum handing off to Peterson? It's a temporary victory, halting potential growth.
By not playing Haskins?
Not playing Haskins, not taking risks, not letting
What if Cole Holcomb's better? What if
That's all encouraging.
What if Wes Martin's better?
I think that's all encouraging, but I think
so,
Dwayne is the priority.
I think you're on a pretty slippery slope here, that the only thing that matters is Haskins playing and be, and
I'm talking about on offense. Sure, your defense can be better too. I'm happy for Cole Holcomb and Landon Collins and all those guys, but on offense,
you don't think there's value in developing Terry McLaurin getting better, Trey Quinn? They don't have much established on offense.
Yeah, there's value in all those guys getting better, but it, I don't know.
You had a long day, bud.
Yeah, I'm just
the quarterback matters most.
It's the most important position in sports, undeniably.
I think the undercurrent of what Bill said maybe lent credence to whatever complaints people had about the way that Jay was dealing with Dwayne in terms of making him learn the whole offense, and he was a true backup quarterback who wasn't getting the reps or whatever. I think that was the undercurrent of what he's saying as he starts laying out the plan of talking about him getting opportunities in practice with first team reps. I think if that's the case, that Dwayne is gonna that they're working a set of plays for him to use and giving him reps with the first team along the way to get him ready to get to that point, I can be patient enough to handle a few more weeks of Case and Colt. But if we get to the bye week and Dwayne still isn't playing, then I'm with you, Pete. I'm ready to throw my hands up and say, what are we doing here?
2 weeks. You get 2 weeks. Because if they're really installing something for Dwayne and it's noticeable that he's getting more work, I mean, because we will probably notice it. You know, yeah. We don't get to see much, and I have a feeling we might get to see less.
I think
less.
We're going to see a whole lot less.
So, we're going to hear less, too.
So here's a guy. I was texting with somebody today. Bill Callahan was talking about, are you going to change anything, practice schedules, any of that? And was cool. He was diplomatic. He's like, we'll see.
We'll adjust this a little just bit here happened. And there.
Right.
Well, he said, let me talk to the team on Wednesday before I tell you what the schedule's going to be.
I think we're talking about like 8 a.m. practices, full pads, no music. You think the ping pong tables will go?
I think the ping pong table
stays.
Make
a few players a little sad in there.
I think the ping pong table stays too.
But I think practice is going to have a different tenor. I think it's going to be much crisper. I think we're going to see much less of it, but I think practice is going to be much crisper. I think it's going to be run at a different pace, and I believe that he's going to be much more Belichickian in his dealings with the media than obviously Jay was, who was...
I thought he was cool today.
He was, and it's easy to be cool on Monday when you've been just named the head coach.
Jay this year, though, was not the same Jay we were used to.
He was grumpy, but he also was... He would...
Knew he could get fired any day.
Yeah, but he was giving us more than directly answering the question that was asked of him from time to time.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
I only have one thing left on my list. Am I missing anything, Pete? Anything you want to address?
No. I'm excited to see what's on this list.
Just that they're keeping Greg Minuski.
Yeah.
How is that the plan?
You want to see the biggest eye roll in the world? I don't know how to eye roll any harder than when the question was asked of Callahan and he said that that was the plan. And the only thing I can think of, and it was when we were talking about whether they were going to, before or after the game on Sunday, whether Jay was going to get fired or not, was that you had to give yourself a little wiggle room if things went bad in Miami. So maybe that's their wiggle room that they're giving themselves to, if they lose to the Dolphins, they can still come out on Monday or Sunday night and fire Greg Minuski and say, see, this is unacceptable and this guy's going to go. But that defense has been largely atrocious.
Yeah, I buy it. I mean, they don't have a Kevin O'Connell on the other side that they can elevate to that role, but I don't care. Just put Ray Horton in there and let him run it. Anybody but Minuski.
Rob Ryan. Yeah. Let any of the guys that have...
See if they can get through in a different way. See if they're more aggressive. See if they're more exotic, because Minuski's basic stuff just isn't working and it gets exposed constantly.
So, I mean, that's just...
baffling.
It wasn't a jaw-dropper like the Haskins stuff, because I kind
of... It's an eye-roller.
Eye-roller, because I kind of wasn't surprised. You like, know the Haskins stuff surprised me.
You know the meme where the guy's, like, blinking and kind of looking up?
Yeah.
That was me during that part. I was like, I'm sorry, what? I, like, kind of shook my head for a second.
I'm thinking, like, Spider-Man looking at Spider-Man. Like, you joked, but, like, has there ever been a second interim coach in 1 year? Like...
I kind of joked. I kind of didn't. Only because... if we're saying that it's a interim for Bill Callahan, we walked out of the press conference. We were walking back to our car to head back so that JB could do Redskins 100. And I said to him, it kind of serious, was, has there ever been two interim head coaches in the same season? Because Callahan is the interim, and there's an expectation that it's a tryout for Kevin O'Connell for next season to see how he handles everything. If they go out and things don't get better.
It's very, very rare to blow out a coach in week 5. Like, usually it's at least double digits.
And we said, like,
it's week 10.
And no one feels like...
When did Mike McCarthy get fired last year? That was like a, whoa, they really made a move early.
And also, like, I think we're saying no one really feels satisfied. It's not like fans are like, oh, Jay's gone, we're good again. Like, everybody's still very salty, and it doesn't seem like anything's really changing much as of now.
Mike McCarthy last year seemed like he got fired really early, right?
Yeah.
It was December 2nd.
Oh,
it's October 6th.
That's a 2 months difference.
It might be.
The Packers were 4-7-1. I'm not a math guy, but that's 12 games?
Yeah, probably a bye week in there, too.
We might do this all again in December. The Kevin O'Connell pod.
Let's talk about
Where's our stats guy? The ambassador of stats? Tell me the last time a coach got sacked week 5.
Sacked. Well, Hugh Jackson last year.
True.
Yeah, and things turned around.
True.
But
Hugh had also gone 1-31 the previous 2 years. I think that's a pretty rare example.
You also went from how is this team, the players, going to adjust from Jay Gruden to Bill Callahan in the course of a season? They're going to go from what some of our friends have affectionately called Club J to the different end of the spectrum.
Hugh Jackson fired after week 8.
Oh, wow.
Week 8, telling you.
Oh, I guess Baker was the early switch, and then they got rid of Hugh, and things were...
Over, under.
Hugh Jackson had a 3-36-1 record, and two of those wins came just before he was fired.
Over, under Redskins head coaches this season. 2.5.
Under.
Got to go under, because it just is unprecedented, and this team specializes in the unprecedented, but they can't do this again. They just can't. They can undermine Bill and just have Kevin basically run it if they want. Keep ratcheting up his duties.
I don't see a magical run, right? Callahan said there's no magic formula coming. Or maybe Bruce. Somebody said that.
John Allen.
Somebody said it today.
Yeah.
But I don't see another guy getting fired. Minuski, maybe.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling to me that Minuski is still there.
I'm going to read one quote that maybe
play
is...
some sad music.
No. We're in a studio. It's too hard to do. I'm going to read one quote that might...
Damn studio.
That might make... I got something to read at the end. Mitch, we're good. I feel like you're pulling up music.
No. I want to hear what you have to read.
I have two things to read. This is from Bill Callahan, and maybe this will make you feel better, Pete.
Okay.
And make others feel better. That's what we're here to do. That and talk about gambling.
And promote Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
That's right. We ride with them. You should, too. My voice... I'm
you
losing.
Are really
I'm getting
going,
tired
yeah.
now. I've slept... 3 hours and 48 hours.
I think I said it. We spent, the three of us basically have spent 15 or 16 of the last 20 plus hours together.
My personal heaven, your guys' personal hell.
I was up like 2 hours earlier than you guys,
yeah, too. Remember when I texted that I was up, and you're like, oh, good, pizza.
Yeah, I was up at
JP had written 5:40, nine stories and broken right. the news
it's
already.
It's funny, I woke up at I woke up at 5 o'clock, and there was no news out there yet. I closed my eyes again. I woke up. It was 6:40, and I'm texting JP. JP's already texted me about some of the plans that we had for today. And then an hour later, Pete's texting us, being like, I'm up, guys. What do you need?
All's well that ends well. This is Bill Callahan on Dwayne Haskins' development and how important that is. Well, it doesn't take much to figure out that he's a first-round pick and that we put in resources into that position. I take it upon myself to be cognizant of where he needs to go and where he needs to be. His development is very, very important, and there's a good plan in place, futuristically, for that to happen. How do you feel, Pete?
It's a nice words, but I wish you saying that with also the declaration that Dwayne was the starter this week.
You know what? There's not a lot to look forward to, but this is the first plan we've seen for a young quarterback laid out for...
We do not... Yeah, no,
we're putting a lot of weight into this plan. Yeah. Just because he had a nice couple sentences.
And he talked about getting him reps during practice, and he talked about...
But Jay said they were getting him reps, too.
No, he didn't.
Jay said the first time he was saying that was like last week.
Yeah, he didn't say that. We saw it in Richmond. That wasn't the case. Yes.
Bill is saying it.
When
is the rule of Tandler?
Bill is saying it too, just because Bill
is saying
it.
What is the rule of Tandler? Don't listen to they say, watch what they do.
Yeah, so just because Bill's saying it doesn't mean it happens too. So that didn't really make me feel better.
He did say this. I think with his development also, we've got to be conscientious of getting him some repetitions during the course of practice. So it might be a little bit of a shift in philosophy as we move forward. So he will be able to take reps at some point, whether it's at the beginning, the end, the middle, but we're really cognizant of trying to rep him up during the course of the practice so that he is prepared and that he does obviously get exposure to game-type repetitions that can get him potentially to a starting position here in the future or next year, whatever that may be. That is way more than Jay Gruden would ever.
That is very nice.
And if you want to know where my optimism comes from, it's that sentence. There's two sentences right there.
But I don't like that he's saying next year, if you don't play Dwayne much, you're going to have a top pick and not know what to do with it.
I don't know that you don't know what to do with it. I'm not sure we need to talk about top
next
pick.
Year yet.
I just, that. It's
that is very
words.
Different.
It's just words.
Certainly. It's all it's just words.
Much different.
But that's all we have to go off of right now as we discuss it. On the afternoon of October 7th, the first day of Bill Callahan's tenure
even
as head
Hugh,
coach.
Even Hugh made it till Halloween. Think about that.
There's scarier days to come.
Hugh Jackson made it till Halloween.
Was there anything else that you had?
I do. I have one last thing.
Oh. Is this what I think? This is the best thing ever.
This is a text from my wife.
This will make me feel better.
This is my little girl, Shelby Lou, when they were having dinner tonight. I wasn't home much today because we've been working all the time. And that's fine. I mean, these are days where you have to work all the time. This is my daughter, Shelby. Mommy, maybe we should write a note to the old coach and tell him we're sorry you didn't win, and now you have to be a little boss coach somewhere and not a big boss coach, and you need a little more practice to be a big boss. Love, Shelby.
That's pretty damn cute.
I am always just going to... Who's the Redskins' next big boss coach? That's what I'm calling it now.
If I had to pick today, KOC. I find it very odd that the Vegas shops and the offshore shops, whoever provides us these odds, aren't listing O'Connell. I think they need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got 11 games to show it.
Like...
The far way too early prediction.
I guess we've been saying, what would Lincoln Riley, why would he leave? I think it would help if Dan Snyder
they want Lincoln Riley.
$10 million
let's be
on
clear
the table.
About that.
I'll say Lincoln Riley.
I don't see it, but wow, yeah. Would that be juicy.
I think that it doesn't, as we sit here today, without seeing what KOC can do, just knowing the what we've seen from him and what we've talked about, if you want to go the young offensive route, or the offensive route for a head coach, it's hard to not go KOC. However, there's always been a propensity to go after that big name and bring in the big splash. And so today I'm going to say KOC, but I wouldn't be surprised if a former Buckeye head coach.
Yeah.
Urban?
Involved in this conversation.
Urban Meyer.
That's the one.
So
I'm
here's what I would say. I think we're missing the Lincoln Riley and the Urban Meyer. I think you're missing the guy if you're going that direction.
Harbaugh?
I think it's Ryan Day.
Ooh.
Well, that Yeah.
I mean, it's Ryan Day's offense with Dwayne last year. And he's a pro guy. I mean, he spent time with the Eagles, the Niners.
That definitely
he's not a lifer college guy like Urban is. Like, right. That's a monumental change for them. Harbaugh's been in the pros.
That's the super giant cannonball splash that empties the whole end of the pool. Ryan Day would be interesting and exciting, but he doesn't have the same name weight.
Sure. But
you have to be pretty damn sure that that Dwayne is going to be your guy. Not that he can't, not that Ryan Day can't develop another quarterback, but if you bring him in, those two are going to be tied pretty damn tight.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time to call it. Thanks to the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. I hope you do the same. Good full day. Thank you to everybody. My dude Ethan worked his butt off. Caroline Brandt was fantastic. Matt Parrison was a ton of help at 6 a.m.
Joe Cervone.
Yep. I'm just talking about the people that were on early, though.
Yeah.
The early birds.
The early folks.
But yeah, everybody worked very hard at our place. A lot of folks asked for this on Twitter, and there's something we haven't mentioned that this is arguably the last time we'll see it, Mitch, or hear it. Pete, it's
time.
I don't know if it's the last time we hear it, but
I don't have a Bill Callahan impression.
You have a Gruden impression. And sometimes it's terrible, but oftentimes it's pretty good.
I want to hear if you made it this far, we owe you a beer in Gruden.
You can say whatever you want. You can do, the floor is yours.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Redskins talk listeners, I just want to thank you all for the support. There's some mean tweets in there, but for the most part, you were with me through the ups and the downs and the J.P. Finley Monday interviews and top button Mitch. He's not wearing his top button right now. I have no idea if this is funny at all, but I'm just going to get out of it right now.
No, you're killing
it. You're doing good.
Okay. Pete Haley, I liked your impression. It was good, man. Just adjusted a little bit here and there, unlike I did with my time during the team, and ultimately, that's what doomed me. If you made it this far, I don't know if I owe you a beer because I need to make sure I'm collecting these paychecks the next year and a half, but I'm going to go hit the golf course, and thanks for the journey, everybody.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.